I'm gonna go with the sunglasses today.
Yeah, go for it, man. You look good.
Thanks, man. Yo, we're back here, 98.4, the Stone.
There you go.
Your late night talk radio show. How's everyone doing tonight?
Hey.
Welcome back. We're playing the top 10 hits of the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s.
It's like, so we're turning the dial and we just keep changing voices. Country's biggest hits, from Carrie Underwood to Taylor Swift. Yeehaw!
And then I took the pills, but I couldn't swallow them. What do you think that's all about?
We are going through the greatest recession in U.S. history. The dollar is no more. The dollar, forget about the dollar. It has disappeared.
Look to Jesus. Jesus will save your soul.
1 Corinthians 4:8.
Oh, Lord knows I've sinned. You should keep that.
I'm limiting what I eat during the work day. I try to eat a very small lunch and just try to resist the you know, walking by. I'm a cheese guy, so I'm always going to grab a piece of cheese or something.
You so. Are a cheese guy. Yeah. Remember when we did in-person shows? I would have like a pizza sitting there left over from that night, and you'd be scraping the cheese off and eating it. Bro, just eat it. And I remember one time I ordered McDonald's because we were drunk after. Like, I ordered McDonald's from Uber Eats, and you were like just going into those nuggets because you had been so less, you know, so carb deprived. You're like, oh, this is so good. You even stayed for the nuggets. You were like, you were about to get an Uber home, and then you were like, oh, you ordered nuggets? I'm staying.
It felt like such a, like an indulgence, you know, like, I'll stay another hour.
Yeah, right. They're like, yeah, Uber Eats at 2 a.m.
Well, yeah, that didn't help the gut either, or the bank account. So, yeah, good.
Just trying to stop. Yeah. Don't be fat, you know.
Glad we're on a healthier path, so that's good. I've never been a Moscow Mule guy. I've been drinking those with diet ginger beer, and I don't know how many calories is in it. I try my best not to count calories, but anyway.
Yeah. Oh, the diet ginger, either regular ginger ale or diet ginger beer is like the best. It tastes as good as regular. Yeah.
I like it. I drink it and it gets the job done.
It sure does.
You put vodka in it and then a whole bunch of lime juice and whew, you feeling good after a couple of those. I tell you what, instead of 10 beers that I normally would do.
Well, there goes that 12 pack.
Exactly.
You can put anything with ginger beer. It's good with bourbon, tequila, anything.
Yeah.
Rum.
Anything. So did you see any good movies lately?
I did. By the way,
good segue, right?
This is the first time in a long time we're doing a show without drinking. So.
I know. Yeah, the only thing in me is caffeine. So
I have a cherry 7-Up, zero sugar.
Zero sugar cherry Dr. Pepper after I just had a kidney stone, so that's good, right?
do you want to share with the audience your experience?
Yeah, I had a kidney stone a couple weeks ago. It was a blast.
It was hilarious for me.
Of course. I had a kidney stone. Woke up in the middle of the night and felt a sharp pain. I thought it was like diarrhea or something. I thought I just had to take a dump. It was weird, like gas pain. And I sat down and nothing happened. And then like I started thinking and I looked up symptoms. I was like, oh, yep, kidney stone finally got me. But yeah, that pain is that. I mean, they do compare it to childbirth. I mean, not saying it is, but it and it's not it coming out of your pee-pee that hurts. It's when it comes from the kidney to the kidney tube that goes to your bladder. That's what hurts. Because it's like cutting through that vein. But yeah, it was bad. Threw up three times from the pain. First time I ever threw up from... Actually, I threw up once from a migraine. But other than that, first time I've ever thrown up from pain. So yeah, oh, went to the emergency room, got me some morphine. And that was dope. So, you know, all is good in the world. Passed it about a week. Passed it about a week later.
Crazy. I know. Yeah. I would check. I was requesting regular updates.
I know. Well, this weekend I felt bad. I mean, this had nothing to do with the kidney stone. Like, you were texting me a couple times, and then like Sunday you're like, "Are you okay, man?" Like, because I hadn't responded, and I responded in my head, and then Monday you're like, "Hey, dude, if everything's if you need to talk, you know, I understand, but if you can't talk right now, I get it." And especially with my mood lately, you're like, "Oh my god, did he finally do it? Did he?" But yeah, but I appreciate you checking in. That was very nice, and it was just one of those things where I responded in my head. And just never got to it. So, well, but thank you.
Yeah, I mean, as we've said a million times, we pretty much text nearly every day. And, what was concerning was because I sent you some funny memes and some stuff. And I'm like, okay, if he's not responding with at least an LOL here for 3 days, like maybe something happened. I don't know.
Like, I can't even get an LOL, you know, a smiley face emoji, you know, none of that. So. But yeah, I appreciate you following up a couple times because that was very sweet of you. Good hey, friend no problem, you are. Good
I
friend.
Care about you.
I know.
Well, there's always, you know, you've had some things going on in
yes,
your life.
Yes, yes. So, yeah. So yeah, I appreciated that. But yeah, I know you guys clicked on this episode because we're going to talk Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Hey, we got to get warmed up. You guys know this by now. We got to warm up a little, get the conversation flowing. Guardians of the Galaxy, loved the first one. Second one, I was meh on. What were your thoughts on the first two? I mean, just briefly, real quick, first two.
I love the Guardians. I love the... I would agree the second one isn't as good as the first. I think because the story is less organic. Like, the ego character comes in, it doesn't... Like, it's almost like it didn't really need it. Like, but right. Okay, this is the story, and I kind of enjoyed what it was.
Kind of gives you an origin story for Star-Lord.
Yeah, so you get that. And I love the Christmas special that came out. That is fantastic. And I also like the PlayStation game. It's quite fun. So I'm a huge Guardians fan. I like them more than the Avengers. And just I find their movies as good as anything in the MCU.
Yeah, same here. It's and I think a huge part of that, first of all, is the James Gunn, but the cast works so well together. I mean, you know, Chris Pratt, and then just, you know, the voice acting with Bradley Cooper, Zoe Saldana. I'm right there with you. Again, I wanted to like Volume 2 better because I loved the first one, but this one
it's a little drop off.
This one was this is the first movie since first MCU movie since Spider-Man that I've been excited for, so there's that too. So that tells you my thoughts on that. I'm glad I took my little brother because I did not watch the holiday special. So he actually informed me before the movie that, and if you haven't seen the holiday special, spoilers, I guess, but Mantis and Chris Pratt, Star-Lord are siblings. I did not know that. So I would have been totally confused hearing them say that because I didn't watch the holiday special. Cause isn't it revealed in that?
Pretty much, and it's a big reveal in terms of the relationship, but it's not like there's not a lot of focus on it. But basically, because she was with Ego, and I guess we assume she was just his, like, I don't know, assistant, but it turned out it was actually his daughter,
right? This is a movie that it was scary for a minute when James Gunn went through his little stuff with Twitter and kind of almost I think he was fired by Disney because of past tweets. Yeah. And this was after Volume 2. And we were like, oh no, Volume 3, he's not going to be able to finish his trilogy. But then Disney was like, okay, well, we forgive you. Come back. So it was a little scary for a minute.
The cast, though.
Yeah.
I think we're not doing this without Gunn.
Yeah, Batista, you know, he even said, like, yeah, if he's not coming back, I'm not either. Like, so, you know, what are you going to do? I think they basically had to.
So Gunn went from, like, holy crap, he made this movie that on on any level, it seems impossible to be able to pull off the Guardians movie.
Right.
You know, this is the strangest cast of characters, but it's his sensibility and love for the characters, which makes it work. He goes from being fired to getting rehired to make this movie. And then now is, you know, the head of DC. So that's crazy.
That is super weird. I mean, obviously, I'm sure, you know, they worked out in the contract or whatever when he was with DC, like, hey, I got to finish this Marvel movie. Like, that's that's part of the deal. Yeah. But yeah, it's so weird that, but you should be able to go back and forth. Why not? You're filmmakers. Like, why should you, you know, only be in one, you know, company, you know? Why not?
I think... we talked a little bit about this, but the way they used the Guardians to bring in Thanos and tell that story outside of what was going on and just to like really expand the world and have it work can't be understated. The way it was able to put someone like Thanos over to the audience and to connect that possibility of, you know, coming to do everything that he did. And so that deserves a lot of credit for, you know, the MCU as a whole.
And the way that Guardians is not a well-known not a well-known story in comic book wise, like it's not like Hulk or Thor or Iron Man or,
no,
you know, it's like I had no idea who the Guardians were when I went into the first one. Right. So I was not that excited for the first one and ended up loving it. So yeah, just what he was able to do was just remarkable, and how they were able to be used in Infinity War and a little bit in Love and Thunder. I don't know why they were in Love and Thunder. Like that was like for 5 minutes and then they were gone. Like I guess just to explain, like, oh yeah, the last time you saw Thor, he was with the Guardians. So I guess
that
we
was
gotta,
it. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's all that was. But
and those
anyway.
Were almost the worst scenes of the movie. And it was right in the beginning. And it made it just felt so flat and weird.
100%.
I've hated on that movie enough. So go.
So, I mean, yeah, let's get into this one.
No spoilers.
Yeah. That's right. What were your initial thoughts coming out of this one?
I loved it. I loved basically every single minute of it. This was, and you mentioned, the first time you haven't been excited or as excited since Spider-Man. I think this movie, honestly, is just as good as Spider-Man. If not, I might even say it's a little better. At least because I think because I care about all the characters so much, you know, we all have our attachments to Spider-Man, certainly, but it was a, I don't know, I don't have a quite, it's just my personal opinion. I just love the Guardians way even more than Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I think there was a perfect send off, and it stuck to that same tone, which really sets itself apart really from the other universe. These could just be three standalone movies that had nothing to do with anything else, and they would all be just as great, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, even like the Thanos stuff in the first one, like that didn't necessarily have to connect with, you know, everything. Like it still would have worked even if you didn't, if Thanos wasn't used anywhere else. He's just like kind of this leader guy and, you know, has a interesting relationship with Gamora and Nebula and things like that.
These movies don't need the MCU.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I love that it's like it's trilogy, its own thing, which is great for this huge franchise that is the MCU. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I tweeted out a reaction. I saw it a week earlier than Dave. tweeted out a reaction that, yeah, I 100% loved this movie. Again, there's... said it in my tweet, but never a dull moment. Like I had to go to the bathroom. I ended up doing it, but I was like looking for a point, like, should I go now? And then something was happening. Should I go now? No, but it's not like it was crazy action packed that I wanted to miss. Like every scene, like there was importance to it. Like there was no scene that didn't really mean something.
I would agree. There was always, there's you're worried there's going to be some, not action, but a moment for a character, and you don't want to miss it. And it's just as hilarious as any other. I laughed a ton. You know, there's that scene we've all seen in the trailer where Drax throws the kickball at the little kid.
Yeah.
I mean, because I saw this one in a packed house. I mean, everybody howled like it was the first time they saw it, and we've all seen it a million times.
You hate when, the only funny parts are the ones that are in the trailers. But yeah, when you can still laugh at something that was in the trailer, like that's always a blast, you know, it's like, we knew it was there, but still hilarious. Actually, I loved how they used Drax in this movie, because in the that's what I think bothered me about the second one. Like, they over exaggerated his humor and like totally just used him as a one liner guy, and I felt like he had more depth in this movie, and it wasn't just all jokes from him and all one liners. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, every character that wasn't completely fleshed out by the end of this movie, if you didn't know them before, you know them even more. And any kind of like, yeah, I think Drax, I'd say, would be the least developed. And we do learn a bit more about who he is and kind of he's really just an oddball. And so,
yeah,
and he kind of has to find his kind of way, and I appreciated him a lot more as well. And of course, we get this is not a spoiler. We get much more of a backstory, Rocket's backstory, which he never wanted to talk about. And so, without spoiling, I will say, I guess what I would ask is just your read on this. I've seen some complaints of people saying this is a bit too brutal and dark in terms of the flashbacks to Rocket's origin. What would you say there?
I mean, I could see people saying that if they're trying to take their little kids to see it or something. But a lot of it is, you know, I think would go over their head a little bit. Like, but
nothing's explicit on screen.
Yeah, there's nothing explicit. I mean, the tone and the theme of it. Yeah, totally dark. Like, this is the darkest Guardians yet, but at the same time, it did have the same light moments. It did. It's not a Love and Thunder where you have Christian Bale's in a totally different movie than, you know, than Thor is. Like, because Christian Bale's fantastic in that for what his character is, but the whole movie's tone totally disrupted that. Whereas James Gunn was able to mesh Rocket's backstory with lighthearted moments and things like that. But yeah, I mean, to kind of answer your question, my read on that, there's been dark stuff in comic book movies since comic book movies came out. I don't think it was over the top or anything like that, or too brutal. No. How do you feel?
Did you take Brayden?
Yeah, but he's 13.
I wouldn't say this. I wouldn't want to be there with a 5-year-old. Right. See this. I don't think. But so I think if there's maybe to make 2 points, I think the movie does go a little bit long, and if there was a spot to cut, I would think one of these areas would be a spot to cut. I think the problem that is that James Gunn loves these characters so much, he almost loves them too much, and he wants to show you everything. And what we get there's lots of touching moments, there's lots of sadness, there's a lot of feelings of regret maybe, and of course, you know, trauma that a lot of these characters went through. And I think Gunn was so, he wanted to get you to see all that, and I think he would probably, if you were to ask him to cut that, he would have probably told you to fuck off, because he
won. 100%.
But I think maybe we could have shaved a little bit of that. I don't think it's not bad or anything, but just in the interest of the entire movie, I think maybe that could have been moved along a bit.
I guess it could have been lighter, but yeah, I especially for, you know, parents wanting to bring their kids, things like that. But at the same time,
I was by no means offended. Don't get me wrong.
Right. No. Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah. But loved Rocket's backstory, made so much more sense. And yeah, just I thought this was a great way to go out for the trilogy. Chris Pratt gets a lot of flack from the left. This show is totally non-political. Everything. We're, you know, in the middle, I guess. This show, we're just neutral. So he gets a lot of flack, and it's just like, I love Chris Pratt. I think he's a great comedic actor. I love everything. Basically anything he's in, I'm interested, because I think he's great. He's hilarious. You buy him as an action star, which you wouldn't think you would when he was first coming up, like in Parks and Rec and stuff. And this, I loved his relationship with Gamora. I thought they handled that very well.
That was really the best part of Volume 2, was their relationship.
Definitely. That stuff was good. Yeah.
I think political statements, stuff like that, none of that really bothers me what they say, unless, until they unless those statements, either right or left or whatever, kind of go after the fans, that's when I get pissed off.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't think he's ever done that. I think he's got his own beliefs and, you know, whatever. But and I think actually some of that is against, I feel like there's something against Gunn for leaving Disney to go to work for Warner Brothers, because there's a lot of hate out there for the CEO Zaslav, who I guess, I haven't really looked into this, but I guess he either donated to Trump or liked Trump or got had some sort of a relationship with him. So I know that, I think that kind of weighs in as well. I mean,
I
at least I've heard, I've come across a lot of that on Twitter. I don't care about that. I'm just saying, I know, mean, that sentiment is kind of out there.
Right. Yeah. And it's some point, it's just like, just enjoy your movies. Like, just whatever. And 20 years ago, this stuff didn't even matter. It's social media blowing everything up. But anyway, this is a Guardians review.
Anyway, as long as they're not going after the fans, I don't do whatever the hell you
100%,
want.
100%. Exactly.
But yeah, I would think, Chris Pratt is phenomenal in this role. He's perfect.
Yeah.
And I think the characters are on a journey. And I think the distinction between, say, the Thor movies, where it seems like he's always finding himself, these characters are actually getting to the point where they're going to take the next step in their lives. Mm-hmm. They know who they are, but they're ready to kind of move on and grow farther, I think, is that's my read on that. Would you agree?
Yeah. It's definitely, as much as I don't like the term, or I think it's overused term, but the character development in these movies is great. Like, they're always learning something. They're always, they're always growing, which is great. And quite literally with Groot, he shrank after the first one. And then, he's growing. Do they explain in the holiday special why he's like buff now? Or is it just like, is that just
I don't know. He's just
So they could sell different toys, I guess.
Yeah. Just growing teenager. I don't know why he's buff. Yeah. Maybe they gave him some Miracle Grow somewhere on nowhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, did you know that you wouldn't have known that they rebuilt nowhere then, right? I don't think they.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I knew it could fly now. Like, it's a spaceship now. But yeah. Okay. So that happened in the holiday special.
Yeah. They show them in like the just rebuilding phase.
Yeah. I just love this universe, this world, whatever it is, and the whole sequence with Nathan Fillion, like that whole world, whatever that was. It was like a organic planet. I won't say anything else about that, but he's like kind of like a security guard on that planet, and it's a great sequence, I thought.
Everything is just so engaging on the screen. I almost don't want to call this, it's comic book, sure, but it's not superhero. It's more sci-fi fantasy.
Definitely. And actually, I think James Gunn, I'm going to try to get this episode out this evening because the movie technically comes out today. He tweeted out how 11 years ago, like, he was brought into a pitch meeting and he wanted to bring something that wasn't Star Wars, but made it feel like Star Wars, like bringing you like to this different world of, zany characters. You can look up the tweet or whatever, he's just like, exciting because it's May the 4th be with you, blah blah blah. It's coming out today, but it's a fantastic world. I'm trying to look for the villain's name.
It's the High Evolutionary Chukwudi Iwuji, pardon the pronunciation.
What were your thoughts on him?
I thought he was great for a villain, and kind of the perfect villain for a small story like this. He was threatening enough for all of them, it didn't have to connect to some other thing. It was perfectly fit the story and very well performed.
Yeah, I 100% agree there. Yeah, I mean, in his, again, you always talk about villain motivation, things like that. You understood it. And I thought he played it very well. One negative I have about the movie, I didn't like how they handled Adam Warlock, only because I'm usually not one where I'm never one where, oh, it's not like the comics, so I'm not gonna like it. I just want a good movie. But Warlock, again, I haven't read much comics, but I did read the Infinity Gauntlet storyline, and he is a huge part of that, and he is just an amazing character and smart and just all just he's yeah super strong. I mean, he's super strong in this movie, but smart, I guess, is what I'm getting at. And in this movie, they kind of played him off as kind of a doofus, kind of
yeah.
And I didn't like how they handled it. I don't know how I would have felt if I just had no idea about knew anything about him. But I even feel like I would have felt like, who is this guy? What's the point? Like, I guess they're probably going to bring him in other movies. But I mean, knowing what you know, like, how did you feel about him?
Will Poulter did not need to be in the movie. I almost wonder if this was the thing from the studio, like, we need to work this character in, because he's not really given much attention, much to do. He has, very little screen time, doesn't really make an impact on the story all that much. It's just an unnecessary addition, I think.
Yeah, I agree. His sort of, without giving anything away, his doofusness. And, you know, I mean, because he was created. I mean, it was teased in the end credit scene of Volume 2. That he's in his cocoon, because that's where he came from, is this like the cocoon thing, and he was created. And this is, it's not like I was expecting more of a Vision, you know, how Vision was when he was created, super smart, like that. Obviously, you gotta make a different character than that. But yeah, I was expecting just more. I was expecting to be enthralled more. What was that?
I'm sorry. Didn't Warlock have the same stone in his head that Vision did? I forget the name of that.
Something like that. But I mean, in the comics, yeah, he actually ends up with the Infinity Gauntlet.
He does.
You know, he's the one that ends up with it.
I've never read that run. Is that worth a read?
Yeah, definitely.
Is it 12 issues or?
Yeah, there's a graphic novel of it. That's just it's just all the ones you need. I mean, there's extra ones that you can read, like crossovers, but you can just read that. Silver Surfer and Warlock are huge parts of it that I wish they would have been able to be in Infinity War, but you know, what are you gonna do?
I've only read DC stuff, but I'm not against it.
You know, different strokes for different folks, you know what I'm saying? I guess that kind of was my negative of the movie, was just how they handled him. I think it was more the writing, like Will Poulter, is that how you say it?
I think it's Poulter.
Yeah, I mean, I think he played it just the way it was written, so you know, you can't really knock him for it, but how they wrote him was disappointing. So,
Didn't need to be there. Other than that, I don't want to give anything away.
Right.
I will just say, thoughts on the soundtrack, because it's always.
I wanted to mention that. Yeah, I mean, again, nailed it. Soundtrack wise, anytime, a new song came on, you're like, oh yeah, like it was just like the other movies, like. Yeah, it totally hit me. And that song they used at the beginning, it was a little different than what they did in the first two movies, but I dug it. Like that was like, okay, it's going to be a little different movie this time around. I don't want to say the song or anything, but yeah, the one they used at the beginning in this one was like, okay. Yep. Set the tone for the movie.
Yep, great open. Last thing, maybe just to hit on, so something we've been talking about, kind of when we see these MCU movies, and just anything with heavy special effects, what were your thoughts on believability of the sets, the action, how did it perform for you? Because there's been lots of complaints about that.
Go ahead.
Well, because I think, have you seen Ant-Man yet?
Not yet. I need to.
that movie looks like the fakest movie of all of the, that's like the gold standard for just not looking good. And some people say, well, it's because you're not putting these characters in real environments like they used to. But I would say in this movie, there aren't a lot of real environments that we can tell. I thought it came off pretty good, and you have lots of weird looking creatures, and I thought it worked.
Yeah. I didn't notice anything. Like that's kind of my gauge. Like if I know, like I'll notice when it's bad. Yeah. This time I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary bad. So I was like, I thought this looked great. A couple of the creatures in some of the flashback scenes were a little, little cartoonish, but nothing, it's expected when you're dealing with that. I mean, I guess that's how Rocket's animated too. So, nothing crazy.
Some of the battles and sequences, to me, it turned into a mess of CGI without any grounding in reality. That happened to me a couple times, but not enough for me to hate it. But I did notice that.
Yeah.
I do want to say, without spoiling, there's a near end action scene where the team comes together to fight a group of bad guys. It is some of the most glorious action sequences. That's really heavy CGI that I've seen in a movie in years. What do you think of that? Do you know what scene I'm talking about? I don't want a spoiler.
No, I know. I'm drawing a blank. I remember the very last scene after the credits were done. No. Yes. I know what you're talking about. That is fantastic. I love
cameras
that.
Everywhere. Yeah. There's all this choreography.
Yeah.
And even though it's CGI, and this is something we talk about, there's actually, even if you're CGI, there is a trick and an art to what to do with the camera.
And how to absolutely
change that perspective. And this is about as good of a sequence as you're ever going to see.
So did you stayed for all end credit ones?
I did. I'm there. And I figure I'm here. I'll just sit and watch. I want to see what they're going to do with these characters. If there was something
definitely
I was going to see, because this could be potentially the last time we see this group ever again together, which I think is more likely than not.
I 100% agree. But where would you go rating wise for this?
I'm going to give it 4 stars and 3 buckets of popcorn. There was a lot of action in there, but I don't think it was as action packed. It's hard to explain my rating because there was more dark. There's more like emotion.
Yeah.
Than that. So yeah, I'd say 4 stars and 3 buckets. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm at 4 stars as well and 3.5 buckets. I would go 4 buckets. I just, like you said, with the darker tone, things like that, it brings down, the energy and things like that, the blockbusterness of it.
And one of those things which contributes to your experience in some way but detracts from it in another way is there's been lots of rumors and stuff out there about which character is going to die and all that sort of thing. And the movie does a really good job of putting basically every character in real peril at some point in the movie.
Yeah.
And so I was in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh no, are they gonna kill this guy, this girl? Are they gonna
No one was safe. It felt like like there were actual stakes, in a way. Even though it was a smaller scale villain and things like that, but there were stakes for these characters. And that just reminded me. I mean, this actually, I trust me, folks, this has nothing to do with him saying that, but I just want to say that Nebula, this is my favorite movie with her in it.
Me too.
She did great. I usually am not crazy about her, she kind of annoys me, but in this movie I thought her character was very well-rounded and it added a lot to a lot of scenes. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because I've hated the character because she's usually so one-dimensional, and in this movie finally we saw more.
100%. So yeah, there you have it. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Can't wait to see what James Gunn does with DC stuff now. Yep. Superman, I think, is the one he's going to direct.
Coming out in 2025.
Yeah, Jesus. Well, it's crazy. We talk about some of these movies that were, a couple of years ago, we were saying, oh my God, it doesn't come out till 2023, and here we are. So
I think
it goes by so fast.
That is such a great point, because I can remember way back to the first Iron Man movie, and I was over the moon about it. And then, because I didn't know what to expect, I don't know that any of us did at the time. And then they started announcing kind of the slate. I remember reading about it, and you go, I guess this is like 2008 or something, and they're talking about, the Infinity War in 2018 or whatever.
Right.
In my mind, I'm thinking I'm going to be dead by then. Of course I'm not. And it's like, well, what am I going to care? And here we are looking back. That was 5 years ago. So.
I know. The days are long, but the years I was right. The days are long, but the years are short. All right, man. Well, you can find us at blockbustermentality.com, on Twitter at blockbustercast, and on Instagram at blockbustermentality. My personal is at BC Cord.
Yeah, you can get me at Dave_Quist.
Dave's been active on Twitter, so I appreciate that. We're going to get more active. We've been pumping out shows lately, so...
Yeah, come on, get off the back.
Yeah, I know. Dave even is doing his own shows with Ryan Terry.
I got to talk
Star
Trek.
And, yeah, Star Trek. Got to talk that. But, all right, man. Well, it's been a blast. Anything else? You good?
That's all. All right. Thank everybody for listening. Go see Guardians. I think you're going to love it. Catch everybody next episode.